today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Were you ever aware of fans walking by your house when you lived in Manassas?
Oh, absolutely. Driving by, primarily, driving. Not walking
beeping.
By.
Would you get the honks?
I get you. Hey, Mike!
And hey, then
I
get,
that's you! Cool.
Michael comes out and he tries his. I say, okay, now remember, straight up in the air, straight up in the air. And Michael is pulling it like this. And right before he's going to release it,
oh, he tilts.
He angles it like this.
Like a slingshot.
And I see it go straight up 100 feet in the air and come down right underneath the enemy neighbor's window.
Oh, no. This would be in Ocean City proper.
That's huge. That's the whole beach.
That is. That's everything. And you know, if it goes there, it'll go to Rehoboth topless. And Bethany. Yeah. Topless bathing.
T-O-P-L-E-S-S. Topless.
And now, in fairness, they've been doing it in Europe for years.
Ocean City has a morality code.
Morality?
It says right here that bare-chested women, it violates the morality code. But the women are saying it's unconstitutional, Mike.
What about the trashy people there?
I've never seen one. I've never seen a trashy person in Ocean City.
No, not trash down there.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Rob, you know how you guys always say you can tell what my mood is when I come into the studio?
Yes.
Whenever Oscar's like running, when he says he's going to be running 5 minutes late, I now get uptight. It's almost turning into a role reversal that I know.
Oh, Oscar's, the hostility?
I knew that Oscar was running late and that he was coming into a new configuration, and it made me uneasy.
This isn't new. We did this for 9 years.
I know, but you just come in.
Yeah, but for the last 10% of the show,
when you
for the last 10% of the show, you've been in another room. This is weird. It's a little weird. You got to admit, it's different.
Yeah, we're
back to normal.
Doesn't matter to our listeners because you're seeing the shots, but it's just when Oscar runs a little behind, it's just
Want things to be sideways uneasy. When you walk in.
No, I like the fact that you're that you come in. I like not being the only bitch.
Oh, thank you.
You know, and when I say that, I don't mean it in any sexist way.
It's more of a complainer.
Well, because not a complainer. You think you talk to someone 24 hours ahead of time and you're like, hey, let's make sure this is right. And then you sit down. The first thing you realize is it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
that's the pain.
It was a surprise to me yesterday.
The most interesting thing is when you accused Rob of having a hangover.
His eyes look like he...
Not hungover, just tired. Tired. I had a late night.
Did you have any alcohol when you got
home? Yeah, but like 3 beers. Does that even count?
What time would you say you finished your last beer?
30.
I hit the sack at about 2:30, I think. 2:30, I think.
Oh,
it's bad. But I had to get something done for today. And it was just, a late night.
Why the drinking when you have so much work on your plate?
Well, I mean, you have something to sip on. Like I said, 3 beers doesn't count. Come on.
I'm grateful to both of you.
God bless you.
Jesus. Wow. But let's do the mailbag that requires very little thinking.
Okay. We can
just
do that.
Reading. Let's do that so we can all maybe get our together.
Thank God.
A little bit. That would be lovely.
We can do that.
There it is. I know I caught you by surprise there.
You almost never do it first. You very seldom do it on Tuesday anymore.
I don't do it that often. Sorry to pull the fast one on you, Sleepy. I didn't know that was coming. I apologize. Now, tighter and brighter for your listening pleasure. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. The clip Rob always plays of the guy stating that he is never, ever full physically is a Long Island guy who was once on the old Richard Simmons show. Wow, this is a poll.
Yeah, this is thrilling to me to get this letter because it explains a lot.
His name was Richard Habranko. I saw the original broadcast and it has been stuck in my head ever since. Quoted details to follow. Well, okay. New Yorker Michael Habranko poses another medical mystery. 20 years ago, at 1,100 pounds, he was considered the fattest man in the world. And then it goes on with, I could eat 2 dozen eggs, 36 pork chops, 24 Frankfurters. I've eaten 24 bagels at one time with 2 packages of cream cheese. I'm never full. I'm never, ever, ever full. Then in the late 1980s, with the help of celebrity dieter and exercise coach Richard Simmons, Habranko miraculously dropped from 1,100 pounds to 200 pounds.
Look at that. Isn't that crazy? Mm.
That's 900 pounds.
He lost like 3 of me.
In only 19 months, he became an overnight success, appearing on a Simmons workout video and becoming a motivational speaker to the super obese. I'm in the Guinness Book of Records in 1990 as the world's greatest dieter. I lost the most weight in the shortest time, he said. His success was short-lived.
Oh no, don't you hate it?
After 7 years, Habranko was back up to 1,000 pounds.
Yeah. Still a net loss of 100, though.
He was forklifted out of his apartment and rushed to the hospital. Then he spent the next 3 years of his life bedridden. That was pretty much the worst part of my life, Habranko said. That's it. I wish there was more. I wanted to find out how the story is. Well, he still with us?
No, he's not. He's not with us. That's how the story ended.
You did the research on this?
Yeah, he's gone. I'm sorry to. I'm sorry to
Daniel
report.
Paget. Thank you for.
Don't you love
that.
The fact that after sending that, the guy said cheers?
Yes. So I hope this helps. Cheers.
Is it a success story or not?
Well, he was successful for a little while.
No, it's not. And it's everybody that's fat.
Yeah.
Gains it back.
Of course. Sometimes more than once.
But if you eat well, more than you eat badly, you'll feel better.
It's
the way I look at it. No, I went back. I told you I had the horrible weekend.
2 dozen eggs, 36 pork chops, 24 frankfurters. I've eaten a
Mr.
dozen
Habranko.
Bagels at one time.
Thank you. That's it.
With 2 packages of cream.
Oscar, is that your favorite tape of all time?
It was until I put it on my ringtone because I had you send it to me.
I remember that, yeah.
It got embarrassing after a while.
Oh, I see.
When Rob would call?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize it was assigned to me.
It was your ringtone.
Oh, that's sort of sad, isn't it?
Sort of sad, yes. You know, that's strange. It's just, as far as I was going to say, the only thing I wanted to say about food, I had the sweet weekend.
Yeah, the dessert
which was
room.
Just, I felt like absolute garbage. Well into Monday. Well
wow.
into yesterday. So yesterday, on the stick, protein, a little shrimp, a lot of shrimp, actually.
It was shrimp day.
Steam shrimp, and that was it. That was my one meal of the day, and had a couple of shrimp, like watching Mayor of Easttown last night, and then went to bed and had one of the best night's sleeps I've had in about a month. It
wow.
was strange. It was actually strange, but Carla said, it's lack of sugar, and I'm not prepared to disagree with her. I think sugar is an inflammatory. I've watched the documentaries,
yeah.
too.
You're blessed with someone giving you health advice, and they're healthy. Your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's nothing like a fatty telling you to stop eating. Like you're like, well, you're telling me, what about you, right?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I just think I've done enough stuff to know. I look at it now this way. I look at it as feeling better now. Like immediately when you start
living
eating
in
better,
the now?
You feel better.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. But this is a depressing subject for me. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Hi, guys. I was recently in Canada for 6 weeks helping out. Did I have any extra there with Habranko?
No, that's it. That's it.
Okay, very good.
He had a moment as a motivational speaker, and now he's dead.
I was recently in Canada for 6 weeks helping out my aging father-in-law who has dementia. It continues. Listening to your show always helped to bring some normalcy to the long days, so thank you. Thank you for saying that. If you want to add to your list of towns where people listen to your show... you can that's a separate thing.
It
that's,
is, but
that
this
shouldn't
but
be
I,
in the mailbag.
No,
why
should.
Is that in the mailbag?
Because this has got a funny capper on it. I like this. I went back and forth. I decided this belonged in the mailbag.
All right, listen to your show. You can add Victoria by the Sea, Prince Edward Island, Canada. I know Canada is not Rob's favorite country, but Prince Edward Island is interesting as both the smallest province and also the birthplace of the Confederation of Canada in 1864 in the provincial capital of Charlottetown. If you don't know where Victoria by the Sea is, just drive 1 mile south from Crapo. That's why he wanted it in there.
It's Crapo, Canada.
Of course. It's Crapo. I was talking about over the weekend, feeling like Crapo.
That's right.
Hello, gents. On last Wednesday's show, Rob was listing his best male singers. Mike and Oscar agree that your list was not a traditional one. Oscar then said, "You're not going down the beaded instead of beaten path."
I thought it was the beaded path. Like no. Beads. Because it's bumpy.
It's not beaten that bumpy. Because you beat down the plants and where
it's
you're
common.
Cutting a path
it's
through the
way
woods.
Everyone goes.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like if you created a path by beating down the ground.
Yeah.
Right. But I was waiting for you and Mike to jump on him about it, but nothing ever happened. That must frustrate people when somebody says, one of our threesome says something, and then the other guys don't correct. Well, please for him to explain what a beaded path means. Regards, Don. P.S. Pony's a snowflake.
Yes,
an
he
angry
is.
Man.
Sir, I agree with you.
Guy.
Look, sir, I'm self-aware enough to know I've made a mistake for 43 years. And
it's your second language.
No, but this is embarrassing. Unless I was an arts and crafts, czar, I say everything's beaded. I can't even make that up.
No, that's true. It's just a mistake. And, and the good news is that sometimes he corrects. Maybe again he'll say, I'm going down the beaded path.
Mike, I only have to learn once. As my second grade teacher said, it's not... a deviated rectum, it's a deviated septum.
That's right. And that was also beaded.
One of the funniest moments in the history of this show. If you want to go down the beaded path, you have to go to the store and say, may I have 10,000 marbles, please? Next letter says, hello, boys. I just wanted to pass along my thanks to all you guys for the years of laughs. My family used to live in Old Town Manassas. Congratulations.
That's a good use to, isn't it?
I always geeked out when I would walk by Mike's house after listening to an episode of the show. We moved to Charlotte, North Carolina back in 2006. My wife and I are visiting family in Nova this week, and the nostalgia is darn near overpowering. So please keep bringing the Daily Awesome and know that there are so many of us that look forward to hearing your voices each weekday. Sincerely, Matthew Anderson. What a very, very nice thing to say. That is terrific.
Were you ever aware of fans walking by your house when you lived in Manassas?
Oh, absolutely. Driving by, primarily, not walking
beeping.
By.
Would you get the honks?
I get you. Hey, Mike!
That's
you!
Cool.
yeah, got that, too.
Did you ever think they thought your house might have been your neighbor's house where the porch was propped up with the rotten 2x4?
You know what? It was, I don't think so.
Okay. Did you ever get the, hey, where's Don? I always still get now. Hey, where's Chad? I got that back in the day
constantly.
Yeah,
I did that, especially back in Nova when that happened. What I got more than anything else, I was saying this to my wife. I heard the beat in the car that I used to hear all the time in Manassas outside of my door. Doot 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 doot. It's not. I'm getting the wrong beat.
Yeah, that sounds more like it, right?
Yeah. Hear that constantly. That's what I would hear.
Those are your fans. You're big fans.
And don't forget the highlight, too. The fugitive running through the front lawn with handcuffs attached.
That was good.
There was a car that flipped over right in front of your house.
Oh, that's right.
Old man flipped over a car on a 25-mile-an-hour street.
Mm-hmm. Took out my Chrysler.
Rob's Chrysler K-car, whatever the hell it was.
I came home with pictures, and Julia said, Dad, your wheel's crooked.
Oh, that mic is terrible. That mic is terrible. I know we made some adjustments here,
I'll Mike. No worries.
I'm hearing Rob like that. That's how I'm hearing Rob.
I'm going to turn
right
up his gate. We're good.
That's probably good.
Thank you.
Dear Mike, Rob, and Oscar, I am writing to wish Matthew Russell of Herndon, Virginia, a very happy 53rd birthday. It was on May 10th. He is a long-time, that was yesterday, he's a long-time listener, supporter, and fan of the show. He introduced me to your show years ago, and we often enjoy discussing favorite episodes, especially Oscar's adventures with his home and his family. That is becoming a crowd favorite. In October of 2020, I suffered a stroke. And do you collect these and just look for death? And disease and strokes and dementia.
These are the ones that come in. She's better now. She's better now.
We have to fix Rob's microphone. It is that horrible.
Keep talking, Rob.
We're not going to fix this.
1, 2, 3, 1, 1, 1, 1.
Okay, hold on a sec. Keep talking.
1, 2, 3. Mike, she's better now. And this is this story actually has a happy ending.
Stop it. Don't touch it again. In October of 2020, I suffered a stroke, and Matt purchased a bonus show subscription for me to keep me entertained while recuperating, which I have enjoyed enormously. He is a great friend. This is wonderful, this guy he's saying happy birthday to. He is a great friend and an all-around good guy, and I know he would be so honored if you would sing him the traditional TMOS happy birthday song. Thanks so much, Marsha Branson. On a one, and a two, a three. Happy birthday. Thank you. Dope. Anyway, all right, moving right along. Hi, guys. I have listened to you guys since day one. It's sweet that somebody takes care of somebody and gets us to get somebody through
a very difficult time. Happy story, really, at the end of it.
Yes, it is.
Especially with a full recovery like that. That's great.
Exactly. Yes. Right. Tawny Contain is dead. Hi, guys.
Not my fault.
I have listened to you guys since day one of the podcast and many years prior to that. I have to say, you three crack me up. I work from home, and you've gotten me through a lot this past year. Is another one coming? And
no.
So for that, I say thank you. Anyway, I have a general question for you. My daughter and I are coming to Washington, D.C. in September, and I am looking for a safe place to stay. Oscar? No. Is there a decent, safe place to stay in D.C.?
Is there, Oscar?
I have an answer. Yeah. Please let me know if you have any suggestions. We don't want to get whacked on our first... Where are they from?
There was no...
It's a city.
No address listed.
Well, this is the same way Matt Bloom feels about the city.
Yes. He likes
terrified
to drive
of it?
Yeah, he's scared.
Well, especially after dark. He likes to drive in the daylight.
It's true. Yeah,
the city is the city.
Most people don't know. Mike, we are spoiled because we've lived in a top 10 city. You've lived in the number one market in the world.
Yeah.
You know what it's like, that it can be safe and it's not scary all the time.
Well, we're going to New York in the first part of July to see my daughter, who's going to be off-Broadway. And, right at the moment, I'm literally making reservations last night to get up to New York City to see her opening night. And Carla, news comes on and goes, 90% increase in shootings in New York City.
So
they could they show the cop carrying the little girl more on the... I mean, and so... I'm not sure we should go. I said, yes, because there was a shooting. Then don't go out of your house either.
Yeah.
Because there's a shooting everywhere.
Yes. By the way, just more dangerous to be in Florida, period. Not just shootings.
I think so.
Especially when
they're trying to legislate out permits for concealed carry.
Mm.
You know, why don't we just call Val Kilmer and bring...
Al Pacino. You know,
We'll get Russell, Kurt Russell, and we'll just make it Tombstone.
Perfect.
It's ridiculous.
I see where you're going with that.
Uh-huh. It's ridiculous. TMOS, the RPY charcoal sketch controversy.
Nice.
RPY?
Yeah, we don't say that phrase anymore.
Roly poly yellow.
Okay. The RPY charcoal sketch controversy has to be the biggest TMOS moment since Julia Jellybean. A lot of us in... Oscar, you're getting the love this week.
Yeah.
A lot of us in the TMOS fan club, and he put it together, so your brother's showing you love.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's nice. A lot of us in the TMOS fan club are wondering, when is the RPY OnlyFans account going to be created so we all can subscribe? Respectfully, the very funny Dan Cortez... in Salt Lake City.
Don't you love the fact that after he composes that letter, he signs it respectfully?
Respectfully.
Oh, he's asking to see my mom naked.
That's right.
Nothing but love.
There's only respect within that sentence.
That's right.
I have time after the mailbag to share with you what happened 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's not going to be an OnlyFans page?
No.
Put your checkbook away.
I'm glad we put the button on that one. So there is a toy that I bought my son at Dick's.
Oh, sporting goods.
The sporting goods store.
They have a lot to offer.
They have pool supplies there, and he wanted to get goggles because he does a lot of swimming. And so we went to get him goggles for his swimming, and he also saw a little toy. It's very inexpensive, called rocket copters.
Mm. Oh.
And what rocket copters are these things.
Little plastic guys?
They are little plastic guys. You put them on the end of a slingshot like this.
Oh, cool.
And then you shoot them up into the air.
Yes.
And then the weight actually makes it propeller down, almost like a maple
spins.
Tree. Right.
And it also has a light on it.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's cool.
That, that you can use.
They make
and
anything
you're supposed
in China.
To use it at night, but that's difficult when you have a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
Because I don't let him stay up till 9 mm-hmm. o'clock. I let him stay up till 8:30 last night, and I had the worst morning, the worst drop off for school in the history of school.
Oh,
I will
no.
tell you the end of this story in a moment, but let me digress and say this morning, because he's tired, he is dragging. And we are normally an on-time machine.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So let me take us here. My son has the punctuality chip that I have as well. He likes being punctual for school, gets pretty wigged out if he's not. So this is what happens.
Does
so
mom have
dragging.
The punctuality chip?
What's that?
Does mom have the punctuality chip?
Mom is the one that has the alarm go off.
Okay.
I was up at 5:55, jumped in the shower, and I really didn't. I more like I stepped into it. I don't like... jump in the shower. I've never jumped in the shower.
Right.
Ever in my life. Perhaps an outdoor shower at a pool somewhere
right.
where I hop on my right foot to get water out of my ear. Otherwise, I've never jumped in an effing shower mm-hmm. in my lifetime. So we are we get up in the morning. We're all up, ready to go. And he's a little tardy. I look over and it's about, I want to say 10 after 7, and he's over on the couch with mom, who's doing her face washing scheduling.
Right.
And so he's leaning in there. I'm like, it's time, guys. And then mom's a little draggy too. Then I hear, I have to get in the shower. Michael, go get ready. Now, normally, mom's responsibility is prepping him. My responsibility is ferrying him. We divide the responsibilities. So, mom goes off to the shower, and I'm just sitting there working on my show. That's what I'm doing. I'm sitting there quietly, and then mom comes out and goes, "Where is he?" Like, suddenly I'm like, "Sorry, not on my pay grade. I don't know what you." And I hear her go down the hallway, and I hear,
"Oh no."
So I'm hearing this
meltdown city.
Those sounds are indicating to me that it might not be going quite that well.
Right.
So he comes out, and at this point, I look and I see 7:17, which in the O'Mara household in the morning is go time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's go time. And I'm like, we got to go. And I don't help the cause, because then I hear, shoes. And even I said, where's his? I see one shoe. Yeah, that's because it's where everyone left it, in the middle of the floor with the other shoes somewhere else. They find the shoes. We're running late.
It's 7:17.
We're not running tragically, but I maintain my calm demeanor.
On a perfect Swiss watch morning, what time do you leave for the bus stop?
7:17 to 7:19.
Okay.
Depending. I have an app. I have an app
right,
that tells
right.
me where the bus is.
Right.
So that's fine. And also the routine, because the kindergartner's father is, I think his last name is Santana, because he comes in every morning.
Well, that's his radio name.
He comes in on two wheels, really, like going to 80. And so we are kind of relaxing, chatting. Having about 2 minutes of wait time.
Yeah.
So, fast forward, we get there. The father is on vacation. The grandparents are taking the little one to school. The other family. And
are they older grandparents or hip grandparents?
They're older.
Oh, okay.
So today, I noticed that it's the grandmother driving, and apparently, the grandfather in the passenger side. And I walk in and I go like this, and she goes, big smile. And the grandfather said, I guess you can't have to lift your arm, to see me. So we pull behind and we're waiting. No sign of the bus. We're fine.
Right.
Everything's cool. Michael's not happy that we're behind their car. Likes to be first.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Competitive. He's got the competitive nature. So about a minute goes by. We're waiting on that bus. I see 0.4 miles away. And then the grandmother comes out and goes, Did she get this from Michael or take it from Michael? And I look over at Michael, and Michael starts the whole PC dance. I'm like, what's the deal? Do you want it back? And he goes, yes. And so I take it. And this little discussion in this little discussion, you know, I start looking at him and he goes, "Dad, the bus is here." And the bus is literally pulling up. Mm-hmm. He's never had that happen. I always have him standing at the bus and it's like, "I'm attacked." But I go, "Dad, the bus is here.
Come on, Dad."
Oh, no, Malcolm.
"The bus is here. I don't want to go to school." Never gotten that. Whole year. Whole school year.
Wow.
"The bus is here. I don't want to go to school." I said, "You have to go to school." It's just like, you got tough love. You got to say, you know, get on. So I put him on and I said, "I'll wave at you." And he's like, and I, the bus door closes.
Yes.
The bus door closes. And I'm looking at him from the side with his head on the back of the seat.
Oh, no.
Mike.
That's what I,
life
what I'm
isn't
at.
Fair. They got to learn young.
I see nothing. Yeah. I see nothing. And so,
well, you held up your end of the bargain, though. I mean, thank God you at least waved.
And almost every morning, the tradition is Carla will ask me, "How did drop off go?"
Uh-huh.
How did drop? I find it an absolutely unnecessary question until today.
Right.
And so I come back in the house and I'm waiting for how did the drop off go? And of course, this morning, I don't get it. She comes out of the bedroom and says, "Hello." I'm like, walks him back at me. I said, "Where's the high?" Finally, you know, I can stand it no longer. "Aren't you going to ask me how the drop off went?" She said, "Yes. How did it go?" With a big perky voice. He said, "It's the worst ever. The worst we've ever had." He said he didn't want to go to school. So anyway, that was the
she had
that was
one job, Mike. She had one job. Question.
One job, asked me how it goes. So.
At Dick's, did you get the goggles?
Yeah, got the goggles. Yeah.
Just the very mention of them reminded me of something. I went to school with a guy named Walter, and he was not the coolest guy. And I remember one day he broke his glasses. And so when he came to school, he had all day to wear his goggles, but they were prescription goggles. Mm-hmm. So he had to wear goggles.
That's nice on the parents' part.
All day at school.
I'd let my kid walk into a wall.
And then I remember on the bus on the way home, it got to be the fact that he said, "Hey, it's the goggler." That's what we called him.
The goggler.
It was so funny. So cruel.
We were so
cruel.
Merciless my in fifth grade. God. It's Walter, the goggler.
The goggler. Yeah.
Hey, well, is that I'm your sure biplane Walter, outside?
I'm sure Walter really loved that, didn't he?
He did.
Mike, do you think it was a schedule shift? Can that really wreck a kid's life?
No, I mean, it didn't wreck his life. He'll be over. And the grandmother was really sweet. She said, "I was a teacher.
No,
he'll be over it."
For your sleep schedule is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, I think he went to bed at 8:30. He normally goes between 7 and 7:30. And that is a big difference maker. Rob's been a parent. Yeah. He knows what I'm talking about. You get the time is a deal. There's a reason you put the kids down. And by the way, they're all up at the crack of dawn now with school and all that, which is fine. When they were farmers, they'd be up milking the cows before dark. That's the way it happened.
Wearing their goggles and heading out to the barn.
By the way, we're up before he is. That's fine. And by the way, it's easiest for me because I'm old. Old people wake up.
That's right.
That's it.
It's the Lord saying you got to wake up every morning.
That's why at 10 of 5, I looked at my watch, 10 of 5, I'm like stirring. I'm like, "Hey, good night's sleep. 8 hours. Yes. Big win. Big win. So the other night we were out, right before bed, another night where I let him stay up a little late, but I couldn't let him stay up till dark. But we go out to shoot these things, and they go 100 feet up in the air. And so I'm shooting the thing up, and it's coming straight down, and it's helicoptering. And we turn one of the lights on, and it's great. And so
it's a great
fun.
Toy.
It's a neat toy. It would be better if I didn't, live in a community where, you know, you can smell other people's farts in the house next door because you're literally, you know, why don't they just utilize the space the way they really want to do? Why don't you just stack them on top of each other?
Right.
Why don't you really just attach them so you could get your extra 2 feet in all these little, you know? Now, sometimes... Being a country guy myself, it's just kind of like, could I get a little of this?
Yes. Elbow room. But I don't.
Hey, chosen to live here? Fine with that. I want to live in the Utah. I could live there. That's fine.
When you're using the helicopter toy, any passersby on foot, they give you like the bad looks?
The first time I come out, this is Sunday night, 8:30, okay?
Right.
Everybody should be in it. And I hear, the car. It's like, okay, what are you doing? And they come zipping by me and run over the one that I'd shot out into the street, landed in the street. So, thank you.
That is hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you, Susie, living with mom and dad. Hope you had a good party. Anyway, so I know that's where she was or whatever.
Sure, Susie.
I don't know her
Classic
name.
Classic Susie.
I don't know. So Michael comes out and he tries his.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I say, okay, now remember, straight up in the air, straight up in the air. And Michael is pulling it like this. And right before he's going to release it,
oh, he tilts.
He angles it like this.
Like a slingshot.
And I see it go straight up 100 feet in the air and come down right underneath the enemy neighbor's window.
Oh, no.
You know the people that Charlie got in the fight
property.
With?
Property.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't realize what a pussy I am. And excuse me for using the word, but yeah. I have to say that. Sometimes I really think of myself, hey, Mr. Tough Guy, don't say that about my wife. But really, my inner me, and this tells me, like, if I ever had to go to war, I would have been probably that guy. It's like, go ahead. let Anderson take point. Go ahead, Lieutenant. I'll be back here. I didn't, you know, O'Mara, take point. But I haven't finished my Hershey bar yet.
I know your anyway. Name in war, your name would be Cookie.
So I am you'd be in suddenly, the kitchen. This is the absurdity of this is like, I see this little nipple, this thing fly into the neighbor's bushes in front of their picture window out in their front house. It's
right.
Not a picture window. It's a window.
It's a window in the front of the house.
If these weren't baby houses, you think your house is small? Come down here. It's like, you know, my houses are tiny down here. They're small.
I live in townhouses the majority of my life, and so you make peace with it. But when you actually, my parents' home, they actually have a little space between each other. You're like, oh,
but if
nice.
You're really rural, if you're living like on a farm somewhere, you send this 200 feet into the air, not give a rat's ass
right.
where mm-hmm. it comes down. Go out in the middle of a field. That's it. But I mean, you know, I'm not flying a remote-controlled plane here. I'm just doing this, and now I've lost track of time because I didn't want this story to be long, but it's turning into
love. Love it.
So I go across, and this thing lands in the bushes.
Yeah,
and I'm filled with fear. I'm so mad at myself that I'm filled with fear. What have I done? I didn't send a stink bomb over there.
Right?
It was a little thing, and I'm like, well, you know, two things are at play here, and my first instinct, just leave it alone. Leave it alone. No. You know what's going to happen with these kind of neighbors? They'll find this mm-hmm. and they'll be pissed off because this is in their perfect little yard. And so as
when
time
goes by.
When
you bought the kit at Dick's, how many slingshot launchers are there?
It's got a ton of them. It's got a lot of different ones.
Okay.
It's got there. So the whole family could fly.
Of course.
Except for Carla, who says, I don't want it. No, of course not.
How was pickup today?
Huh? Yeah, exactly. Drop off. Mm-hmm. But anywho, I did what every decent father, this is the great tradition of my father
yes.
with me. I said, well, Michael, why don't you go over and just take a look in the front yard? I'll be over here.
Make him do it.
And I send him over there. What am I afraid of? An 80-year-old woman who's going to come out and just be a biatch? Is that what I'm worried about? Is that all I'm concerned about? And so he's over there. And all of a sudden, I see Michael go around the bushes, like right up against. I mean, no, don't do that.
Wow.
Don't go up there. But he's there. He's there already because my son doesn't have the fear chip.
No,
I
right.
do.
Right.
Because we're the ones that got into the altercation.
And also, he's a kid. He's like, I'm just going to get my toy.
Yeah, it's my toy. Yeah. That's it.
And so he goes around. I can't find it, Dad. I said, that's okay. We looked for it long enough. Thanks. Come back over here. No problem. All fun. Wait a minute. Dad, Michael, no, wait a minute. Because I just think at any moment. And what am I thinking? That the Kraken is going to come out of the door and you know, and start screaming epithets. And then he says, oh, I got it. And he got it and he retrieved it. And I was like, good boy. Good boy. You know, there I am with my heart racing.
No
and
more.
God, it's ridiculous.
Then the door opens and they chase him to the property line.
I have to go rappelling or something. I have to put myself in danger some way because this is ridiculous. I am too soft.
No, yes. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You had an altercation. You go back and forth. And the last thing you want them to do is them find the toy and be like, they can't even control their kid. Look at all his toys in our neighborhood, in our yard.
It's giving them ammunition.
It's scoreboard, Mike. It's scoreboard.
Mm-hmm. It's horrible. It's embarrassing and it's horrible. And that's why these people do that to other neighbors. They're bullies and they intimidate
Mike,
people.
Terrorists. They're terrorists of your neighborhood.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I come in and I said, how are the toys? I said, we sent one into the neighbor's yard. And Carla looks at me like literally I'd created the worst of a, oh God, no. And I'm like, he shot it. I didn't
Mike,
mean
you
to.
You did it on purpose.
Yeah. Excuse me, when it's 2.5 feet per capita, It's a little difficult to fire these things 100 feet in the air and not care where they come down.
You send enough of those, you could clog someone's gutter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's
what if you attached a note to the helicopter that said, "We hate you"?
Or move.
Move!
Said they were.
Move, please.
Anywho, we got to take a break. Come back with the homepage right here on the Mike O'Bara Show. There's my little story in the mailbag. Took care of a lot of business. We'll be right back.
Who is the captain now?
Oh, dear.
Digital!
Oh, no! Dumpster! Digital!
Fun is the best thing to have.
Dumpster!
The digital dumpster.
Audio oddities and digital diversions. Don't miss the digital dumpster every day on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Here's a fact. The average American consumes around 17 teaspoons of added sugars each day. So if what you put in your body today is the foundation for the you of tomorrow, start cutting out unnecessary sugars from your diet. Read much? HVMN is what I'm talking about. And they are obsessed with helping you reach those goals through modern nutrition, powering your metabolism with less sugar and more ketones. Modern nutrition for modern lifestyles. HVMN is a nutrition company that takes the mystery out of counting macros. They're results-driven, modern nutrition for modern lifestyles with less sugar than the competitors. Whether you're just curious about keto, you want to improve performance, lose weight, or boost brain and body wellness, HVMN has a non-intimidating solution for you, and it tastes great. HVMN offers single items like MCT oil, keto food bars, and keto collagen powder, or you can grab a kit that includes all the essentials at an everyday discount. Right now, HVMN is offering our listeners an additional 10% off their first order when you go to hvmn.com/TMOS. Embrace healthy living today. Go to hvmn.com/TMOS for 10% off your first order. That's hvmn.com/TMOS for 10% off, and we appreciate that.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
The Homepage. By the way, we're coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, Denver, Colorado, Florence, Arizona, Cusco, Peru, Long Beach, California, Brighton Beach, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. We hope you're enjoying it. Glad to have you along on this fabulous Tuesday, everybody. Let's dive right into the controversy. Are the Golden Globes about to be a thing of the past? That is the question. Maybe. Yesterday, NBC canceled the Globes, literally.
Yeah.
After a growing list of controversies, including severe lack of diversity, preferential treatment, misuse of funds, and allegations of sexism and abuse. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which puts on the Globes, was originally under fire when it was revealed that they had zero black members, and things have snowballed since then. NBC's decision means there will not be a Golden Globes broadcast in 2022, but they are leaving the door open for a possible return in 2023. Now, it sounds to me like the contract is written in such a way where, since they have the rights to broadcast it, if they don't broadcast it, nobody else can. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
The network said, quote, "We continue to believe that the HFPA is committed to meaningful reform. However, change of this magnitude takes time and work. And we feel strongly that the HFPA needs time to do it right." That, to me, reading between the lines, says they weren't making any strides in doing anything, and they thought they were going to get away with it, and NBC went, nope. They go on to say, if the organization executes on its plan, we are hopeful to air the show in January 2023. This goes on. In response, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association released a timeline for its transformational change. It includes increasing membership by 50% by the end of 2022, giving the new members immediate voting rights, and addressing its internal issues. All right, here's a problem right there.
All right.
You wait a year? You have to wait a year by increasing your... to increase your membership by the end of 2022?
They've also promised, Mike, that by 2025, most of the members of the Hollywood Foreign Press will watch at least one Denzel Washington movie.
Well, it might be too late. Yesterday, Tom Cruise said that he dropped his three Golden Globes in the mail and sent them back. And he may not be the last one. Others like Scarlett Johansson and Mark Ruffalo are speaking out. Over the weekend, Netflix, Amazon, Warner Media, and HBO cut ties with the Globes. And given the rise of streaming, that's almost as big a blow as NBC dropping them. They're just under assault. I had no idea. Of course, some of this damage can be undone, especially if the HFPA enacts the transformational change they're promising. But if the Globes aren't televised until 2023, will anyone care? They're saying this might be a death
ratings are down for all award show, aren't they?
But listen, guys, this is look, they're doing it for the right reasons, but it's the right time. Mm-hmm. No one wants to pay these $60-70 million for the rights for award shows when they're dying.
If you
cut them off at the knees now, it's over.
Yeah, and make no mistake. Broadcast companies do nothing for the public good. They do it based on ratings and revenue. Yeah. And if they can put on like Chicago Med and get higher ratings for that, they will. That's the way it goes. But I think we'll see. We'll see if there's a telecast in 2023.
You're giving them all the best of it, Mike. Look for Jane Lynch's Game Night instead of the Golden Globes.
Very exciting. Here's how you know you have too much money. Jeff Bezos is building a yacht that is so big it needs its own support yacht. So his yacht is so big, it needs another yacht just to support it. The main yacht will be 420 feet long and cost around $500 million. I'm really glad that Guy Fieri didn't get money from Bezos for the restaurant fund.
Well, yeah, he had other things in mind.
It's a sailing yacht, so it'll have three giant masts on it. That's one of the reasons it needs a support yacht, because the masts mean that the main ship won't have room for a helipad.
Well, you need that.
And as we all know, every yacht needs a helipad.
This is the perfect setup. If he needs to go, he gets in a fight with his new girlfriend or anything like that, you just go to the yacht. He's good to go.
And he can bring it up the Potomac.
Yeah. Can't go under the Woodrow Wilson Bridge.
Well, he has to time it so it's up. He has to. Yeah. The bridge might has to be up before he comes in.
Tight fit. Speaking of dicks, Bob Baffert in the trainer. He's the trainer for Medina
Spirit.
He is
a dick.
Baffert insists that no one gave Medina Spirit anything illegal and has he has no shortage of excuses for why the horse has failed its test. This is a good one.
Okay.
Baffert said one of the testing issues was created by one of the grooms. The groom is what the guys that tend the horses. Apparently, one of them peed in Medina Spirit's stall after taking cough medicine.
Pony.
Really? Really? And the horse ate some of the contaminated hay, which then led to the positive test. Baffert has blamed grooms before. Just last year, two of his horses tested positive for a banned substance, and he claimed that grooms used a lidocaine cream on their hands before handling the horses, and the horses somehow ingested it.
Yeah, you want to use lidocaine before you touch the horse because you don't want to feel the horse.
You remember that time that Rob sat on a toilet and got gonorrhea?
Yeah.
This is that type of story. We're like, oh, it wasn't me. Exactly, it was the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly the same.
And I'm sorry about that, Oscar.
Hey, better for flads, everybody. Yes, sirree. It's really starting to look like Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are back together again. They just spent a week at a resort in Montana. And a source says, quote, they were alone, just the two of them.
Mm. Oh.
TMZ says they were acting very much like a couple. And when they return, we don't know what the deal is with that. They made love in a diner on the table.
No, I saw both of them peeing on a bale of straw.
You know, after drinking cough syrup. After they returned to L.A., they went straight to Jennifer's house.
Yeah, they did.
However, the not always reliable Radar Online.
Oh, dear.
If you call reliable like 1% of their stories.
Mm-hmm. Is that still owned by Gary Berghoff?
I'm not sure. Radar. Radar. Radar Online claims that Jennifer's already redumped Ben after deciding he's not husband material. Supposedly, Ben getting caught hitting up a younger woman on a dating app was a big part of it. This is just... You wonder why these relationships are under pressure anyway with this going on?
Yeah.
Ben and J-Lo were engaged back in the day, but they split 17 years ago. So, anyhow. Ben Affleck.
The crime against humanity, they still look good.
Yeah.
Both of them.
They still look really good.
And they're both keeping their Golden Globes.
Someone polled 35,000 Americans, and one in four say they'd give cicada-based food a shot. That includes 9% who are very into it. Another 13% said probably not. Hey, cicada sound. I love that. 44% said no way. 15% weren't sure. I don't know.
Oh, no.
And 1 in 50 Americans have already eaten cicadas. I'd be that guy.
Yeah.
Hi. Yum, yum.
Remember, it tastes like off-brand asparagus out of a can.
That was our expert.
Yes.
Men were 50% more likely than women to say they'd give it a try, and young people were more likely to say yes than older people. 28% also said they'd be up for trying some sort of insect-based food, and a third of us think insects as food will become a bigger trend in the next 10 years. Well, you need protein.
Yeah, but
we got a lot of insects.
They're really talking. The news outlets are really talking cicadas in D.C. right now, and as they show them, I keep thinking, I can't eat that. And I think it's because they're so big.
They sell grasshopper bars now that are really good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oscar, would you eat a cicada?
For the show, absolutely. Why not?
Oh, what a great guy. Fantastic. Go fetch them. Live or dead?
Oh, no. You gotta fillet them or something. Jesus.
Not sure.
A lot of wing sauce.
Yeah.
Hey! Now a little something.
Put some
something.
Truff on it.
Today is National Eat What You Want Day. So I guess that means some people haven't treated every day since March last year as an official Eat What You Want Day. We've got the results here from a new survey for the holiday that found the top foods we'd eat every single day if, you know, we didn't have to worry about all the consequences. Here we go. Number one, of course, pizza.
Yeah, pizza.
Pizza.
Number two, pasta. Number three, burgers. Number four, ice cream. Number five, tacos or burritos. Chocolate. Fries. Donuts, cake, chips, or in my case, all mixed up in a bucket with eggs on top. Thank you. Thank you very much. Eat what you want today. Great day to start. The day I start doing the no sugar thing.
Oh,
I'm not eating what I want today.
Yeah.
But started it's a yesterday. Holiday.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, Carla, I know I started my diet on Monday, but today's Eat What You Want Day.
Yeah. Bring me some Fluffy Ruffs.
Fluffy Ruffs. Hoisin Crispy Owl. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Arnold. How are you? Are you feeling good?
Good. Good.
I'm feeling good. Sure, why not? The virus couldn't get me. I'm too strong. I wore a mask. Yeah. Ich bin wash my hands and make for the social distance. Sure. You like that, huh? Of course you do. Soon, I will be out with my Kinder and my fans and driving the Humvee in the Palm Springs as soon as we get the herd immunity. So, be like me. Continue to wear a mask, be cautious, wash your hands, and stay 6 feet away. That way you can swing your Conan the Barbarian sword. Classic Arnold noise, right? Yeah, all right. Now, there's my maid. Auf Wiedersehen.
Thank you, Arnold.
Thanks. Very cocky, Arnold.
He's too strong, Mike. The virus couldn't get him.
This is an amazing fact that I didn't know about. 1 in 3 Americans suffer from nausea.
Yeah.
And all of them hate it. Well, of course you do. If you can relate, you got to check out Relief Band, a new sponsor on the Mike O'Mara Show. Relief Band is the number one FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven to relieve and prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning. Are you wearing yours today, Rob?
I'm not wearing mine today, but I do want to mention, and if you missed the last time I talked about this, when I came back from Miami, the turbulence were so bad they weren't even serving drinks in first class. That's how bad the thing was. And I saw a lot
but
of
you
green
weren't
faces.
In first class.
No, I was not, but okay. I could see up there. They said there'll be no drink service today. But the thing is that
actually, when they made the announcement that they won't be serving drinks in first class, Rob went,
you wasted your money.
Rubes.
You rubes. But I looked around. I saw a lot of green faces because, as I said, Mrs. Spiewak took the time to book me on a small plane.
Yes.
I felt fine because I had the Relief Band. And it was really awesome because I'm not a great flyer anyway, but right. It really gave me the advantage. I love this thing.
It's great for migraines also, hangovers, as I mentioned before, morning sickness, chemotherapy, lots more. 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, zero side effects. The technology was originally developed over 20 years ago in hospitals. Relief Band stimulates a nerve in the wrist that travels to the part of the brain that controls nausea. Then it blocks the signal that your brain is sending to your stomach. So it works.
It does.
And as Rob mentioned, he loves it. Relief Band is the only over-the-counter wearable device that's been used in hospitals and oncology clinics to treat nausea and vomiting. And if you know someone who suffers from nausea, it makes a great gift. As the world opens back up, Don't let the fear of nausea keep you on the sidelines. Right now, Relief Band has an exclusive offer. If you go to ReliefBand.com and use promo code TMOS, you will receive a great discount, 20% off, plus free shipping and a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. So go to ReliefBand.com, ReliefBand.com, and use our promo code TMOS for 20% off, plus free shipping, which I think is absolutely
wonderful. You're going to love it. It's an amazing
wonderful
thing.
Welcome back to the show. Whoa. I really wanted to get to this all week on the show. I'm glad we have time to talk about it right now. They're planning a very special change in Ocean City, or at least they're lobbying for it.
Yes, yes, Mike. They had oral arguments.
This show originates in Washington, D.C., and let me tell you something about the nation's capital. The nation's capital, one of the really fun things about it is there's really only one location you can go if you want to. Well, I'll say two. There are only two places to go that are relatively close by if you want to go to the ocean. Mm-hmm. One is Virginia Beach, and the other is Ocean City or the Delaware Shore.
Right.
It's on holiday weekends, a cluster F to get there, because everybody who wants to go to the beach only has two choices to go. It's very, very frustrating.
And you've said it before, Mike, is that, you know, Europeans do it right. They vacation, they space out. In Washington, D.C., everyone goes to the same two places on the same 7 days every year.
Every year. And it's nightmarish for traffic. I mean, there have been 40. This is on a good day, this is about, what would you say, a 3.5 hour drive?
It's 180 miles, roughly. So, yeah, if you're averaging 60 miles an hour, and that's
about a three hour drive.
Yeah.
This drive, and I'm not exaggerating, in some cases, when there is an accident or something has gone amiss, can last 14 hours.
Yep.
I am not exaggerating.
Mike, if you would, explain the magic of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge.
The Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Now, that number 14 might be an error. I think I was thinking 14-mile average backup.
That's probably about right, yeah.
That's how far backup
it gets. But it's taken me 7 hours to get back easily.
I've done that.
From the beach. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Craziness. It's horrible.
To cross the Chesapeake Bay, which is a legendary waterway here, there are two bridge spans. One is a two-lane bridge. One is three lanes. Mm-hmm. But they have to at least allow one to go the other way. So at most, when people are beach-bound, there's four lanes of traffic on a five-mile bridge.
They'll close that bridge when it's windy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a bad bridge. Not a good bridge.
Bad.
But once you get to the beach, Mike, at least you know that everyone's going to be dressed sensibly, right?
Right, of course. So what the hell is going on now? What do they want to do at the beach?
This comes up every now and then, is that they say that men can be bare-chested at the beach, so why not women? Mm. And so, I think it was on Friday, just a few days ago, they were hosting oral arguments about why women should be allowed to go bare-chested at Ocean City, down to beach, hon. So, you know.
This is everywhere? This would be everywhere?
This would be in Ocean City proper. That's huge. That's the whole beach. That is. That's everything. And you know, if it goes there, it'll go to Rehoboth and Bethany. Yeah. Topless bathing.
T-O-P-L-E-S-S. Topless.
And in fairness, they've been doing it in Europe for years.
Of course.
But who knows?
What's the big deal? It's a free country now.
Ocean City has a morality code.
Morality?
It says right here that bare-chested women, it violates the morality code. But the women are saying it's unconstitutional, Mike.
What about the trashy people there?
I've never seen one. I've never seen a trashy person in Ocean City.
No. Not trash down there with the thrashers.
Where does it stand now? What is the very latest?
They are still reviewing the testimony. There is an active women's group that is lobbying for topless bathing down there. And they're saying this is a violation and that they got to preserve the family nature of Ocean City, so that you want to go onto the beach, Mike, you got to wear a Big Peckers t-shirt.
God, Ocean City.
Mike, how much do you not miss this area?
Yeah.
Oh, it's, you know, the thing about here, and you know, Florida gets a bad rap, too. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of, there are issues in Florida.
Meth heads.
We talk about Florida Man and, you know, the stuff that goes on down here. One of the greatest things of all is the access to everything. You know, you can go to the greatest theme parks in the world in 3 hours and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. You can go to one of the great cities in America in, you know, about an hour and 45 minutes from where we live. I can go 2 hours up the road to another great city. Mm-hmm. I can go to the beach in 13 miles. It's everything. You know,
access to the Keys, one of the greatest parts of our nation. Yeah.
I will also tell you that, you know, having the roads we have, which is kind of a major highway, one straight line highway, when that shuts down, all bets are off because you can't really get anywhere. The frustrating thing was everybody wanting to do everything at the same time. Mm-hmm. I use the example of the Fairfax County Fair in Fairfax County, Virginia, Northern Virginia, suburb of Washington, D.C. You think of a fair, a county fair, as open space with mm-hmm. land, and there is none.
No, and they Fairfax really want at the Fairfax Fair, they want it to be like still the thing where they're judging pies and cheeses and pigs, but you can't do that because the only place they have to hold it is the parking lot of the government center. Mm-hmm. And then and you're parking at an abandoned mall to be bused to the government center. It's a horrible thing.
Even where I lived, you know, a few, you know, out there in Manassas, Virginia,
sure.
You had the Prince William County Fair, which was a real fair.
Better.
With fairgrounds.
Yeah.
I just don't understand having a fair, calling it a fair and putting it in a parking lot and then taking shuttle buses, you know, with people waiting in line. It's just one of my little peeves. But the biggest peeve was always, because I lived in Annapolis.
Right.
And I lived on the eastern shore of Maryland, was the traffic. And the worst day. And by the way, this is done in cities everywhere. It's done in Key West. They do it in Tampa. They do it everywhere. There was an event that I've talked about for years and years that they would have called the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Walk. They would have it once a year,
mm-hmm. right,
on a Saturday. And it was a day that you could shut down one side. There are two spans mm-hmm. of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, one built in like 1810, the other one built in 1811. And
I'm surprised they got the second one done so fast.
It's insane.
They're horrible.
It's plans. A clay molding.
They would shut it down so people can go, boop, ba-doop, ba-doop, ba-doop. We're walking on a bridge where cars go.
You never had to walk it for the radio?
Never, on general principle. There were multiple days where it was a crappy little BS Saturday with nothing going on. Hey, I'm in a suburb of Washington. Nothing's ever going on. And why don't we go and walk the bridge? And I said, on general principle.
No.
No. And I'm sure there were good causes supported by
that. Yeah, charity.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, if I want to support a good cause, you know, you should support it your own way.
Yeah, but write a check.
It's still, you know, I think supporting a good cause by shutting down the flow of traffic is not my, you know, idea middle of a summer. Wonderful day. Yeah,
they should shut down. If they were to do the bridge walk, do it like December 28th.
People will get blown off.
Sure, it's cold, but, you know, at least you're not inconveniencing. Mike, the way it stands right now in Ocean City is that if you're a woman and you ain't got no shirt on, you're going to get a fine of $1,000, and it's enforceable by the local beach patrol, which, as you know, are 10-year-olds on bicycles.
Hello, it's the beach patrol.
Yay. Can you put your natty bows away?
Put it down.
Natty bow.
Put it down. Right, well, so I'm hoping that, you know, the women get what they like. I hope
Will you give us an update? Will you pay attention, please? Sleepy, will you pay attention? He does look good. How come you're not wearing glasses today?
I forgot my glasses.
Wow.
There's going to be a little pep talk after the show, Mike.
There you go. No, he's fine today. He's very good on the show. Don't pick on him today. Just I'm going to give, believe it or not, I'm going to give him a free pass for a change.
That's sweet. Right. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you very much.
I think that's Mike who said that. I don't know. I don't have my glasses on.
All right.
I'm going to go walk on the bridge.
Take a break. Come back with a lot more fun on the Mike O'Bara Show.
Is this the button?
1, 2, 3.
Hey, guess who's here?
Hello. James Tiberius Cerrito.
Jimmy Cerrito.
Let's say you're the undisputed 5-time King of the Wings.
Hey!
But you've left all your favorite stuff back in your rental RV.
Oh, no!
You're not worried because you know you can replace all your treasures by visiting the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. A case of wing sauce.
Put some wing sauce on it.
A Buffalo Bills mini replica football helmet.
Go Bills!
A stack of adult coloring books.
Bo, have you seen my crayons?
Or the latest release from Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy!
Just click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order it all.
It'll be okay.
Gonna be okay.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Hey, everybody, don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using depth, speed, and power. And it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4, and there's no product built better. I love this thing. The OLED screen and design is amazing. You got to go to their site and check it out. Plus, the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams, elite athletes, hundreds of thousands of customers, and me. And here is another fact. Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers invested in the company.
Yes.
That's how much they believe in Theragun. Imagine just for a second, who would need a product and would endorse a product that would be more qualified than an NFL quarterback with the way they feel
and an NBA star.
I bet he used it.
An NBA star.
I bet he used it after he hosted Jeopardy.
Superstar.
That's right.
A lot of attention.
Try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/TMOS right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/TMOS. Theragun.com/TMOS. I'm glad you brought up Jeopardy.
Oh,
because, you know, I wanted to mention just that we don't talk about it a lot until they have one
Alex
story
died.
In the news.
What? What?
You're kidding me. No. So I remember, do you remember back when Bob Barker retired from The Price is Right?
Yes.
And within at least a month, I think it was, maybe less. They replaced him with Drew Carey.
Right.
People bitched about Drew Carey. There are people that liked Drew Carey, people that didn't like Drew Carey. I was somebody who didn't. But I'm going to give Price is Right a little tip of the cap here, because at least they bit the bullet and did it. They're destroying Jeopardy.
Yeah, it's a slow
by
decay.
Playing this. This is what happens when the suits take over 100%. This is what happens when the guy that is the host, and if he was retiring, is not there to say, I want it done this way. This is the way you should do it. And it's unfortunate that Alex passed away, had a few things that he wanted done when he was gone, but he wasn't there to supervise what would have been, if he had retired, a smooth transition.
Right.
And so what you're getting is this ridiculous deal of guest hosts, which I go back to that executive producer that hosted, and I think it's I think his little fingers are all on this thing.
I read an article that they are seeing decay with every week. They're losing like 0.2 rating about on average as they switch a host every week. That's why they say the producer put himself early, so he would not be a victim of the decay.
Oh, so if you look at the scoreboard,
yeah, like, he said,
"Hey, the best ratings.
I had a 6.2. I'm good." You know,
don't you look? We've done it on this
sneaky.
Show.
And me and
we've
Bialik.
Done it on this show. I'm all for responding to a groundswell of audience participation in something that you say, oh, maybe this was misguided.
Right.
But I'm also a big believer in you're the ones that are getting paid to do this. Do your job. Have a talent search. Get it narrowed down. And do some trial shows, maybe with three people, and then do it. How many guest hosts have we had as these ratings begin to erode?
I think we're on 6 or 7,
the charity side is interesting, but what happened to screen testing somebody that we never get a chance to see the screen test, and it just they choose behind the scenes.
Yeah,
and how about, oh God forbid, that it's not Alex Trebek was a game show host.
Exactly.
Alex Trebek was a broadcaster. He was not a TV actor. Not a newsman.
What's Chuck Woolery doing?
He's spewing hate. I unfriended him on Facebook.
He is a hateful dude.
He doesn't like. He fears the different.
Oh, okay.
His blue emu is all tied in a knot. He is.
Hey, we're gonna have an insurgence on the Capitol in 2 and 2.
I didn't know he was.
He's got sort of a reputation.
No, they didn't have a plan, and they dicked around, and now they've dicked around, and they've taken what is really a show that I, at least every couple of weeks, I would look in and watch, and now because of all this, it's affected me
It's subconscious because I don't have this. Oh, I won't watch because this person is. No, it's subconscious. I don't want to bother with it anymore because I know it's going to be somebody that's really not qualified and somebody's not professional at doing it. It's somebody who's doing it as a side gig, and I don't want to watch it anymore.
It's a definite. I'm burned out. It's a definite comfort show. And I think wherever you live, it's probably either on at 7 or 7:30, mm-hmm. but you know it's always going to be there at 7 or 7:30. And you turn it on, and maybe you're actively watching, and maybe you're not, but it's comfort. And the fact that it's different now, they've disturbed that groove.
Here's what I think. I think early on, when they had all the PR and all the publicity, they thought they had a winning formula.
Mm-hmm.
That is always short-lived. That is always followed by, hey, what's the deal? Make a decision. What's going on? And you're seeing the ratings affected by that and my level of interest in that. And I love the show. And I think it's kind of iconic for the United States. I think it's a big deal. And name a host and name a no name. Put somebody in there that you've just really researched behind the scenes. Do your job and enough.
What about rolling with honestly, just embracing the women's movement where it's like, you know, let's put a smoke show on there and then do something for everybody and see what she's, that would be great.
How about a brilliant woman who's a broadcaster, a TV anchor somewhere,
yes.
who's super smart, that could handle all of it. And
if they had dropped Katie Couric in on day one, I think they would have been okay. She was good.
Katie Couric, to be perfectly honest with you, you want somebody, I believe, that's going to be doing it for 25 years. And I don't know whether Katie Couric is in that category.
Mike.
Look, what? No, I'm saying, no, I just think that Katie Couric has had the broadcast career.
Yes.
Look up right now. How old was Alex Trebek when he started hosting?
Smart. Okay. I like where your head's at. Right. You want longevity.
Yeah. I want longevity, but I love the idea of Oscar says a smoke show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not wrong, though.
Yeah, you know.
Someone who's pleasant to look at on the Magic Box.
Look at this brilliant woman handling all of this. And by the way, by handling, they do it already all the time.
He was 44 mm-hmm. when he started.
Yeah.
44. Mm-hmm. How old is Katie Couric?
She's 106.
No, seriously, how old is Katie Couric? Katie Couric, because I'm just 44.
Let's go 34. 34.
Katie is my age, probably, or close.
I think Katie's she's 55?
64.
Oh.
64. She's older than
that.
Born in Arlington County.
65 was the traditional age of retirement.
Yes.
So that's the Katie Couric. I think we don't need the name.
No.
You need a professional broadcaster that the camera and the smarts.
Brains and beauty, Mike.
Brains and beauty. All right. I'll ask you, Rob. Usually are Oscar and I coming across as tremendously sexist?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Hey, Pony, what do you think?
You know what? I think if you think you're sexist, you are sexist.
Yeah, I think you're right, Pony. And I think when you get to the bottom of it, I'm just telling you,
it's not a bad idea. What did Oscar say right out of the gate? He said the woman's
movement.
Yeah.
Not the suffrage movement.
Oh, you're okay with them voting?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
That's fine. Good.
Equal rights, now, bank accounts, and everything.
The challenge with TV anchors, both men and women, is to find one that isn't a Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, that happens occasionally.
You're seeing that a lot now.
Look at the landscape of anchors, not just on Fox News, but now across the board,
mm-hmm.
that are attractive and capable and kick ass. Like Megyn Kelly would be great for that job.
No, but Megyn Kelly is too controversial. She's just had a problem with that. How about Julie Banderas?
Oh, let me.
How about Julie Banderas?
What network is she tied to?
She's on, I believe, a Fox News.
Okay.
Okay.
And how about me suggesting a Fox News person?
Mike, it's fair and balanced. Hold on.
Fair and balanced Jeopardy. Yeah. And now this is...
Okay, she's popping up now.
This is Smoke Show.
Oh, she's gorgeous and mm-hmm. brilliant. Wrong network for my taste, but...
Mm. Yes.
You know, maybe that was just the gig she got.
She's 47, so, you know, we'd have to act fast.
No, I was just saying you don't want somebody that's at the end of that.
I'm not at all. I mean, look, I like Mike. He's old.
Someone preferably that doesn't want to have kids.
Like Mike, Jesus.
God, all right. Now you've taken it too far. But,
I'm sorry. That was in your monologue.
You know what? All I wanted to say was Jeopardy, name a host. Enough of this dicking around.
Yeah.
Okay. This is
respect
bad management.
Respect us, please. Respect.
This is bad management.
Oh, she likes dogs. Idea.
Who doesn't?
Right.
Julie Banderas.
Well, Barbara Harrison
likes
just
dogs.
Retired, didn't she?
She's available.
She's available.
You know, and you know, I like the idea of a female host, but if we open it up, how about Pat Collins?
Sick. Anyway. By the way, for those of you around the country, Rob is mentioning a local Washington, D.C. feature reporter who's 1,000 years old.
We could get there a couple seasons out of him.
I was thinking of people in different markets. It would be wonderful.
Yeah. How about give somebody a shot? Someone we don't know.
I think it's
know.
Terrific. I think it would be. And by the way, maybe at a national level, too. Yeah. A national TV anchor that would be able to pull that off. It's not hard to do. You're reading prompters and you're reading questions. But if you have the smarts to start with, it would be. And by the way, you can look at the network news, Fox's and CNN's and MSNBC and see a lot of different people on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? And let me throw a guy in there too. Perfect Peter Alexander.
Oh, he'd be good.
Yeah.
Perfect Peter
Perfect
Alexander.
Perfect chin.
And you know what? He would not say no. I can do that. I'll go over to the taping after we simulate the burning of this house.
This is silliness.
This is how you get out of a burning house. Right, I'm Peter Alexander.
Thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate it. We'll take a break. And we'll that accomplished nothing. We will come back with the digital dumpster, Rob Spiewak, right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Hello, this is Al Pacino, and I love talking to you. Hoo-ah! Do you like to talk? Maybe you want to talk to your favorite hosts. Well, say hello to my little friends. Get ready to get on Zoom and be a TMOS talking head. Just send your info to Rob at MikeOmeraShow.com. Include a phone number! And prepare for a Friday morning you'll never forget. Hoo-ah! Do it now. Before you lose your mind and go crazy, just like me, because this is something you'll want to remember. I'm Al Pacino, and I'm not sure where I am. Hoo-ah!
Thank you, Al.
Leave a phone number.
Thanks to the vaccines, we're getting back to normal, and that means dressing like a grown-up again. Dressing sloppy eventually gets old, and no one wants to see you running around in your neighborhood with your old sweats on.
Yeah. Oh,
you.
No!
Especially in the airport. It's a pants-demic. Pants-demic. And the only cure is Public Rec. They make leisure wear in waist and inseam sizes because comfort starts with a better fit. And I think you're going to love them. My favorite pants are their best-selling all-day, everyday pants. They're more stylish than sweatpants and a great alternative to jeans. And Public Rec has incredibly comfortable shorts, T-shirts, Henleys, polos, hoodies, jackets, even golf gear. Oscar Santana is now modeling Public Rec pants. Those are the all-day, everyday
pants. Awkwardly modeling them. And
great.
They look
great. They're great. They're comfortable. They have so many zippers. I love them.
They're wonderful. Public Rec rarely offers discounts, but right now they have an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Here it is. Go to publicrec.com/TMOS and use promo code TMOS to receive 10% off. That's Public Rec. Spelled REC.com/TMOS and use our promo code TMOS for 10% off. And we thank you, everybody.
Oh, roll it, Mike.
Mike, I send you a little snapshot on your phone.
Oh, look, she's got cicadas in there with her. Francis McDormand.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Megan with Julie Banderas.
Oh, wow.
You know what? There's rule that says Jeopardy can only have one host.
Just grosses me out that those kind of women were parading around Roger Ailes all those years. That's disgusting. Anywho, that's it. Let's get right back to
Mike,
it.
Mike, one of your favorite golf partners is Alice Cooper, no?
Sure, we'll go with that. No, I hit balls next to him on a driving range.
Driving
one time.
Range, yeah. Well, right. Alice Cooper is still a happening musician, getting ready to tour, and he's auditioning a band. You know, I guess he rotates the band members in and out because he's the star. And he says he can promise band members one thing if they join his band, and that's stitches.
I can guarantee you three things. You're going to get paid. You're going to see the world. You're going to get stitches. Everybody in that band has had stitches. You know, I got switchblades. I've got swords. I've got everything up there. And I'm a little bit freewheeling. I don't necessarily look to where everybody is. And every once in a while, they walk a little bit close and get nicked, you know? And those are not rubber swords. when you're an Alice Cooper show, you better know where everything is going. You better be in the right place at the right time or something, you'll get killed.
He's like 80 years old, and he's still swinging.
My hair better be in the right place at the right time. I'm looking at it right now. What the hell? I've combed my hair today. What
Take off your headphones. Lean forward.
God damn it.
Maybe it's time for Bosley. I'll go with you.
Is that the hair
replacement? I got to go back to the shellac and go straight back with it. It's getting long enough to do that again.
I don't know. A shorter might work, Mike. Something short, I think.
Well, I do. I have a high-end tight, so I have a shirt. Go ahead.
All right. Don't you love when someone is, you know, they've got a pretty important job, but you realize they're just phoning it in?
Of course.
They had the graduation at the University of South Carolina. And, of course, traditional to have the president of the university speak. Mm-hmm. His name is Bob Caslin. Here he is at the graduation ceremony.
It's now my honor and privilege to officially congratulate you as the newest alumni from the University of California. Congratulations, and please be seated. Carolina. Sorry about that.
No.
I owe you push-ups.
That's by the way, that is a sign of stress.
You think
it
he's
is?
He's trying to have that I don't care demeanor, but he's a wreck. He's a wreck, and that's why he screws it up. All right, so I want y'all to sit down. Really, I'm so inside. It's like
I'm so scared.
It sounds like Quaaludes to me.
Maybe you took medication. You know.
It's not even close, though. You have one job.
Yeah. Play it again. Play it again. Let's do an analysis.
All right. Wrong coast. This is Bob Caslin from the University of South Carolina.
It's now my honor and privilege to officially congratulate you as the newest alumni from the University of California. Congratulations, and please be seated. Carolina. Sorry about that.
Woo!
I owe you push-ups.
Mike, I think you might be right because he's got a Bob Kraft thing happening in his voice.
He is Joe Buck on his HBO show, where he was completely out of his depth, and he tried to appear super cool and collected, and he wasn't, because it wasn't his comfort zone.
Exactly.
I always believe that.
All right. Eminem, noted rapper, hip-hop guy.
Marshall Mathers.
Mike, there's something that you and I share, a hatred of the format of the cassette. I've always hated the cassette tape. Did you know that Eminem collects vintage cassettes?
Ooh.
And he recently found one that he really wanted. It was the album Illmatic by Nas.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think he paid for a cassette of an album?
Oh, you could buy a cassette, new, when we were younger for $20, and that was expensive?
Oh, it was $8. It was $8, $10 for an album, and like $12 for a CD. Check this out, Eminem.
My most coveted is probably, would have to be Illmatic, Nas, because, man, I couldn't find it nowhere. I finally found one, and it cost like $500,
$600
for a sealed copy. I think that they just, it's back stock from like, you know, record stores had in their back. The tapes that never sold, so they just kept them and then sold them online.
$600 for a tape, and the fidelity sucks. I hate cassettes.
Yeah, and they take forever to rewind.
Exactly, and you can't find the song you want because you got to fast forward. Horrible. But that's the deal.
For some reason, this whole discussion's, I'm just getting a little Kevin Meaney in me, you know? I don't care!
What were digital cassettes?
Digital cassettes?
You remember digital cassettes?
There were digital little mini discs, I remember.
But they actually had digital cassettes.
They were CDs.
What's that?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you had, Mike, I thought you'd like that because you had to DJ with cassettes.
Yeah, and you had
carts. Because I think the whole discussion of cassettes is so off-putting to me that it stresses me out. I see an old car with a cassette player and I get chills.
That's uncomfortable.
That's a
horrible format.
I had to time them to find where they were and F it up all
Terrible.
The time.
And you have to have a pencil.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Mike. Here's a good palate cleanser. I know you love the show Game of Thrones. Oscar likes Game of Thrones. The theme to Game of Thrones as played on vibrators.
Now this is worthwhile.
Yeah.
I missed that show. Mm-hmm. It was a must-see TV. Love that.
And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't play this version of the Game of Thrones theme. I know it's one of Pony's favorites.
I think I know what this one is. Pizza, pizza,
pizza, pizza, pizza. Just playing the short version. And let's close with this. You would think if you were Tom Arnold, you would be the most embarrassing member of your family, wouldn't you think?
Of course.
Did you know he has a sister who was known as the Meth Queen? This is true. She has a show on a script. She has a show on Discovery Plus. It's a reality show about her sort of creating the industry
of meth. Has anyone seen it?
I've not seen it. I just found out about it this morning.
Anyone tried to see it?
But Tom,
I have Disney Plus. It is cumbersome on TV. I watched it through my laptop.
Tom is trying to sell this as a scripted show.
Yes.
He wants it to be a scripted show. But here is Tom Arnold's sister.
My name is Lori Arnold. I'm a material technician. The money I make a week, I used to make that in a few minutes. Even though it was 30 years ago, I'll always be remembered as the queen of meth.
Lori was truly a kind of a pioneer, moving upwards of 10 pounds at a time.
It was just so easy to bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Like the people that created the tech world in Silicon Valley, his sister created the meth world.
I lasted about 6 years, and then all hell broke loose. DEA, ATF, FBI, OPD, I'm like, where's AC/DC?
Money's the root of all evil.
I'll shut the hell up.
So if you want to have some fun this weekend.
That attracts me. Did you see the video? Does she weigh like 11 pounds or something like that?
Mike, I'll say this. There's a family resemblance.
Really? Oh, my God.
That's the digital
she was
dumpster.
The meth. Oh,
she's
wow.
She's the meth queen.
Incredible.
That's right. I can't wait for the family reunion this summer. Thank God they all got the vax. I think they got Johnson & Johnson.
The meth queen. Well, I get the whole Walter White, you know, Breaking Bad vibe from that. That might be interesting. Who knows? Anyway, we got to get out of here, everybody. Why am I leaving over here? That's it.
Goodbye.
Mike, I'm totally cockeyed in my chair. What's wrong with me? Have to take a break till tomorrow. We'll be back with a brand new episode for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. This is Mike O'Meara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
It ain't over till it's over.
If you like to eat, we are having taco night. Goodbye.
Oh, good for you.
If you like to eat, we are having taco night. Goodbye.
What do I do?